Whatever way you use your Bible, I want you to go to Job chapter 1. Today, I'm not going to read from the Bible to you. I'm going to tell you a Bible story. Job is one of those books that we don't have many conversations about because it just really doesn't fit with our 21st century narrative. And there are a lot of people that use this book to say, see, God allowed this to happen in my life, when that is so biblically erroneous. First, let's have a conversation about the book of Job. I had never seen this like the Lord showed it to me, but this is a story of love. We've been talking about love. This story of Job is a story about love. It is also about how to turn a setback into a comeback. Say that with me. Turn a setback into a comeback. Oh, I think our nation has fundamentally changed from this time on. Maybe in your world, but the Lord is just wanting us to go, look, the only thing that's going to change is you're going to either decide that I'm your comeback, or you're going to go with the way the world goes. And the world's not intending to come back. They want you to think you're not going to come back so they can bring on socialism and tell you, see, if we were operating as a socialistic society, none of this would happen. Yeah, didn't work out too well for Stalin, did it? Didn't work out too well for Karl Marx. And present day, it hadn't worked out too well for Venezuela. See, we have to decide whether God is on our side or he is our enemy. Hold Job chapter 1, and I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. Underline this passage of Scripture because it is very, very important to the story of Job. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. The Apostle Paul tells us that God bound himself to his word, basically, is what the verse is saying. God said to Abraham, when he made a covenant with him, I am making a covenant with you and I'm binding myself to my word. Everybody look this way. God is a sovereign God. That means he's God over everything. His sovereignty has been harnessed by his own doing, that he can't do just anything he wants to do. Did you hear me? God can't do just anything he wants to do because of Hebrews 6:17. He bound himself to his word. He said, I'm going to draw parameters for myself that says, because of the law and the word I've given to you, I can't do whatever I want to do. In Job, that covenant had not been made yet. When the incidents in Job took place, God was operating totally by the definition of sovereignty. Remember, he said, I'll bless who I will, I'll curse who I will, I'll show mercy to whoever. That's what he said until he bound himself to his word. Have you ever had things happen in your life and somebody says, well, you're just going through a Job time? What that means is that Satan went before God and God gave him permission to attack you. After God made a covenant with Abraham and then sealed it with the blood of Jesus in the New Testament, God's never done that. Is everybody listening? That's not the real story of Job. Well, you know, God permitted it. God, yes, he did. And do you know why he permitted it? Never forget this. He permitted it in Job because love was on the line. The devil came to God and said, God said, have you seen Job? He said, yeah. He said, he's a great one, and he really loves me. He said, yeah, anybody would love you if he was as blessed as, if everybody was as blessed as Job is. You ought to read the first chapter and see how rich Job was. He was rich. This was written probably, or this story took place probably prior to Abraham's time. He was wealthy and he honored God. Every day he offered sacrifice to the Lord for his children. Sounds just like a parent, because they would have parties and he would offer sacrifice to God just in case his kids did something they shouldn't do. Now see, if we're going to say that God permitted Satan to attack Job, then we can turn around and say that we have to go and pray for our children so God will keep them while they do bad things. That's not the way it works. Every man decides for himself. Up to a certain age, a child, my children were under my spiritual care. Now, Lauren, Devin, Lindsay, and their family is under the care of their own spiritual laws. Job is in the house one day, and a guy comes running in and says, Job, telling you, there's a group of guys came in and killed all the shepherds and herdsmen, took all your camels. Oh, man. I'm the only one left. Isn't it amazing that only one person gets left to run back and tell you bad news? He runs back and he tells Job, you've lost all your camels. Then, while this guy's talking, another one runs in and says, Job, I hate to tell you this, but do you know that there's some really bad guys that have come in and they took all of your donkeys and all of your goats and all of your sheep. You've lost everything. Job goes, wow, that's bad. See, because he was in love with the Father. He wasn't in love with his money. He was in love with the Lord. He wasn't in love with his sheep and his goats and his camels. He knew where he got them to begin with, and he knew God would give them back. He said, so what? But then this other guy comes running in. Watch this now. And he says, look, your sons and daughters, they were having a party, and there was this storm came up, just out of the blue, and blew the house down, and the house fell on them and killed all of them. Job is about 100 years old when this happens. Think about it now. He's 100 years old. And Job, his response is, well, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. He didn't have a Bible to go by, so he just, well, you know, God gave it to me. If he wants it back, he can have it, because I'm not going to say the devil got it. I'm going to say I ceded it to God. And the devil is out roaming around, and he passes by the throne of God and God says, hey, how about, did you check Job out? Doesn't he love me? And the devil said, yeah, he loves you. But he knows you're going to bless him again. But if you let me make him sick, let flesh to flesh, let me get him. Let me get him. No, he won't. No. See, 1 Corinthians 13 says, love protects. Love protects. And the Father's going, nah, you know, you're not going, I'll let you try, but you're not going to take his life. Remember, this is before God's what? Covenant that he bound himself to. So the enemy goes down and he can only strike his body. He can't take his life. Say that with me. He can only strike his body. He cannot take his life. Life belongs to who? The devil can't steal something that belongs to God. Job gets very, very ill. He's lost everything. He's a poor man, and he has three friends, wonderful friends, that come around, and they're prayer partners with Job. They have great spiritual insight. And do you know what they start doing? They start telling Job, but Job, you know why this has happened? Because you've got sin in your life, Bubba. You've got sin. Follow the story. When you get home, read the entire story. Job just comes back and says, no, I don't. I am in right standing with God. Do you know what the world hates about us Christians? We tell them we are perfect before God, and they go, you're out of your mind. They don't understand that my perfection is not based on what they think. It is based on my relationship with God. Their perfection of me means that I'm never to get angry with them because of the evil things they do. That is not even biblical. If I did not get angry about evil, then Jesus would have been in sin when he turned the tables over. The scripture tells me that to love God is to hate evil. Everybody say that. To love God is to hate evil. That's why when my children grew up, you can go do what you want to now. You make up your own mind. But when you come to my house, you're going to live like I say live. This is my domain. We honor God here. We don't bring sin into this place. This is, ladies and gentlemen, until you establish those parameters in your house, your kids can bring anything into your house and wreck your life. Is this good preaching? Job said, I know I've been living right. I know I've been doing right. Look at me. There are times when the enemy attacks you and your family that you need to turn to him and say, I don't care how bad you attack me. You're never going to get me to believe that it is my fault because I know my relationship with God. And I'm telling you, I am going to defeat you. You've come at me to set me back, but my setback is going to turn into a comeback. Yeah, but you don't understand, Dr. Burrell. I'm really old, and you know, it's just too late for me to... No, sirree. Job was over 100 years old when this happened to him. His three friends spent hours telling him, you've done something wrong. Who are you to say that you have lived right before God? Who do you think you are? And Job just, he goes, I don't care what you say. And then his wife is going through it, and she's watching her husband suffer, and she's watched him lose everything, and she's lost her place at the country club because things are just really bad. And you can make fun of Job's wife all you want to and talk about what a terrible woman she was, but have you lost five children at one time? Have you lost every dime that you ever worked for? One of your kids gets sick and you want to fuss everybody out. Your husband loses his job and you want to blame God for it. She's lost 5 children and everything they had worked for. And in her frustration one day, she says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" The reason I know she was forgiven, because Job didn't get a new wife, she stayed with him. She didn't lose her life. Wow. And then there's this little guy. He's a young guy, and he comes up toward the end of the book, and he goes, "Job, you know, I know that you're a lot older than me, but you're just an old man. So I want you to sit back, old man, and I want you to listen to me, because us young people, we know more than you know. If you knew everything, you wouldn't have lost everything that you have." And boy, for 3 solid chapters, he just gets Job up one side and down the other. And Job looks at him and goes, "There ain't nothing you said that's right." And all of a sudden, while all of this is going on, watch this. Job's sitting in an ash heap, sores all over him. What was considered back then as the plague, they might have called it corona. And he's sitting there, and God speaks up. Now, just think of this. We don't have a picture of God talking to the devil anymore. Now he comes down, and he interrupts the conversation and says, "Whoa! You're laying all of this on my child? You're blaming me for this? Who has darkened my counsel?" Watch this. He says, "Let me ask you, where do you go to unlock the door for the light to dawn? And where do you make the light go hide when the darkness comes? Do you do that? Are you," in fact, he says it so well. He says, "Oh, you're old enough. You should know that. Well, when the deer fawns, are you there to help the birth? Oh, when the goats get hungry, are you there to feed them? I'm sure you are. Oh, when the waves roll up to the shore, I bet you're the one that runs out there and says, 'You can't go any further than this.' You're the one that does that, aren't you?" God is so sarcastic in this. "Oh, and I want to ask you, I'm sure you're old enough to remember establishing the foundations of the world. Oh, you're so good at that. Oh, by the way, when Leviathan or the big beast, alligators and crocodiles, do their thing, where are you? Where are you when the storms come up? Where are you? Do you know where to go to get the snow to fall? Do you know where to go to get the lightning to flash? I'm sure you're old enough. You should know how to do this." And Job says, "Lord, I don't have any answers for you." He said, "Neither do these other guys. Look at me, ladies and gentlemen. None of the things that have happened in your life is because God has permitted the devil to do it. In the 21st century, the devil has seen your love for God, and he says to his imps in hell, 'Oh, they're just like Job. They say they love him, but they're not like, they want to be like Job, but they're not. They're not like Job. They think they are, but they're not like Job, because the least little thing comes along, trouble at church, and they stop going to church. They don't love him. Least little thing comes along and attacks their finances, and they go, 'I'm not tithing anymore. I've been given and I've not been blessed. Everybody else gets blessed for me.' They stop. They're not like Job. Now is the time for you to set up your comeback. Because Job said, 'I want to tell you, I don't care what happens to me, I will serve him. Though the skin worms eat my body, in my flesh, I will see God. Nobody's going to stop me. My friends, my situation, nothing's going to stop me because I love him. If God really loved me, why is this happening to me? Job said, I don't have a Bible to tell me, and I don't have a preacher to tell me. So God just comes down and says, Job, I want to tell you, I am the answer to everything that happens in your life, and I am here for your turnaround. Oh my. When God gets through, Job said, Lord, if I've said anything about you that wasn't true, forgive me. Do you know what God says? God says to Job, says, bring your friends up here. He brings his friends, and God says, everything you guys have said about me is a lie. So everything, when you read the Bible, everything you read that Job's friends say about God is untrue. It's the only part of the Bible that's a lie. In fact, Job, now watch this. Job's still got sores on him. Stephen, he's still sitting in the ash pile. He's still got nothing. He doesn't feel anything. He doesn't have no shalom okais moving on him. There's no organ playing, no drum playing in the background, no music. The Lord said, get your friends around, you lay hands on them, pray for them. They need you to bless them because they have zero. You're the one that's blessed. Oh my God, have mercy. Can you imagine that? Yeah, but do you see what kind of shape I'm in? Lay your hands on them. Yeah, but lay your hands on them. Why? Because what connects you with him is not what's going on in your body. It is the love that is here, ladies and gentlemen. Well, somebody praise him in the house. Is this helping anybody? See, God no longer gives the devil permission to attack. He doesn't do that. He has given you the full armor to stand against him, and you can stop him. Well, I don't know if I can. Oh, really? The Apostle Paul is walking around town and this little girl's running behind him. This is a great man of God. This is a great man of God. He got so much power. Let him lay his hands on you. And Paul turns around and says, shut up. She goes, and the evil spirit came out of her. You have the authority to stop him. My wife tickles me sometimes. The enemy will be attacking us in a certain area, and I can hear that little girl go through the house and she'll go, devil, now you just have to stop this now and leave. I don't mean it's 3 days later. I mean, you stop right now. You have a comeback. You just got to make it happen. Oh my. Did you hear what the Lord said? Tell them their comeback is based on their love for me. See, Job really meant it when he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. This is really what he was saying. I don't care whether he gives it to me or takes it back. It has nothing to do with how much I love him. I love him rich and I love him poor. Well, now, he's lost everything, and God has just blessed everybody out. That's why Jesus warned us, and the scriptures warn us, woe to those that call good evil and evil good. James said, be careful that you don't say that that God is doing things that the devil's doing. Be careful. People are so mixed up. Well, God caused that. God let that happen. No, you let it happen. Job's case is totally different from you. You are under a whole different law. You just stop this right now. Well, did Job stop it? Yeah, he did. His love turned that thing around. Read the end of the book. At the end of the book, he had twice as many camel, twice as many sheep, and at 120 years old, I'm going to stand way back and say this, lest somebody get pregnant and blame it on Dr. what I said today. And his wife, she had more children. And they over 100. Do you know how many years Job lived after all this happened? Approximately 150 years. I would say that's a pretty good comeback, don't you? Huh? And his wife didn't die, and he married some young cookie, and she had him some more children. No, mama had more kids. The Lord wants me to tell you this. The Lord's never going to penalize you for your momentary discouragement. Let me go back and say that again. God's never going to penalize you for your momentary discouragement. Let me tell you how quick you can change discouragement when it comes out of your mouth like that, Father, in Jesus' name. I let my flesh talk, and I want to correct that. I know you're going to meet every need in my life. And I want you to know, whether I have a house or not, whether I have a job or not, whether I have a car or not, I'm going to serve you. I love you. See, you thought he didn't. He does. You want to turn your setback into a comeback? Let everybody else tell you, oh, you just think you just, that's the way Job's friends did it. You just think you so holy. You think God just won't give you anything you want. You just one of those people that name it and claim it and nab it and grab it. You got it, baby. At least I don't have to steal it and try to, never mind. He will, oh my. He wanted you to know today, you're on your way to a comeback. When Miss Job got pregnant, Miss Job didn't get pregnant and have 10 kids like that. That takes a while. You know you're preaching right when they laugh and say amen. If you're listening to me today, the Lord wants me to tell you, whatever you're going through, your situation is not like Job. He did not open the door to the enemy. All he has done under this new covenant is show you how to close the door. He has told you how to defeat him, how to overcome him. And God would not lie to you and go behind your back and open the door and let the devil come in and destroy you. Yeah, but I read 1 and 2 Peter like you told me to, and he said, the Lord has allowed these trials and this suffering in my life. Everybody stop. 1 and 2 Peter is a whole lot different than Job. First and second Peter has to do with people that are suffering because of a maniac government that's killing and torturing Christians. That's the suffering he's talking about, not the attacks of the enemy against your mind and against your body and your finances. Say this with me. I am under the new covenant, where God has bound himself to his word. He wants me to be a part of that covenant. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He will be with me always. Let me tell you, as someone who has experienced death in the family and loss, I want you to know I've experienced financial setback to the point that one day, Lauren and I were, he was very little then, we were riding in a car and I'm sitting at a stoplight and the car died. County patrolman stops his car, jumps out, runs over to my car and says, "Is everybody okay?" I said, "Yes, sir. Why?" He said, "Didn't somebody run into you? Haven't you been in a terrible accident?" That's how bad my car looked. I said, "No, sir. This is just my temporary transportation." "Well, God permitted that." No. The enemy tried to get me to quit. But he forgot that in the next meeting that I was about to conduct, there was a little lady that had received an inheritance of gold. She walks into the church one night with four large grocery bags. You know, the paper ones, not the plastic. The big paper ones, walks up and sits them down beside my chair and says, "Brother Burrell, the Lord said, buy a car." Four bags full of gold. "Well, did you invest it?" "No, I did what God said to do with it. Bought me a car and paid cash for it." See, there are very few places you've been that I haven't been. There are very few hurts that you've had that I haven't had. But my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Stand. Today, on the 13th of September, somebody is going to get their double blessing. It's beginning right now. You got to stop fooling around with people that's dragging you down, pulling you down, telling you how, you've got to distance yourself from that, or you'll start believing it. Has this helped anybody? So don't ever go back and say, "I'm like Job. God's never given the devil permission." The devil's doing it without God's permission. That's why he's given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That's why he has equipped you. Wow. That's why he has given you the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, having the belt of truth, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Thank you for joining our service today. If you'd like to donate, we have many ways for you to give. You can text Zion and the amount to 73256, visit us online at zionca.org, or send by mail to Zion Christian Assembly, 258 Beartooth Parkway, Suite 130, Dawsonville, Georgia 30534. For more resources and information on our church, visit zionca.org.